Mecum Auctions, the world's largest collector car auction company, returns to Indy with Dana Mecum's 37th Original Spring Classic, May 10th through the 18th at the Indiana State Fairgrounds. 3,000 muscle cars, Corvettes, exotics, and more. Broadcast on Motor Trend TV and streaming live on Max. From avid collectors to those new to the Mecum experience, we welcome everyone. Register to bid now at Mecum.com.
Could see those winds gust on Wednesday near 20 and 30 miles per hour.
Wait, what day is that?
Wednesday.
Okay. That's some fair winds.
I know, it will be. And with some showers and storms, too. So
that's some very Sinatra. The summer wind came blowing in from across the sea.
Ooh, that's very poetic. I like
that. Can you do the next line?
I cannot, no.
Ooh. Next time you come back, you be prepared to sing Summer Wind. We got rules
summer
here,
wind.
Tara Hastings.
All right, Summer Wind.
Right?
All right.
Either that or a couple bars from Two Live Crew. Those are your choices.
Oh, my gosh.
You can do Two Live Crew, can't you? You just don't want to admit it.
Well, I don't. Are there inappropriate lines? I don't know. I would have to.
Are there inappropriate lines? Oh, that's adorable. Inappropriate. Not in today's world. That's Tara Hastings right there from Wish TV. Tara, thank you. She'll be performing with Two Live Crew soon. That'd be a dream. 61 degrees in the American Standard Heating Weather Center. The time is 7:07. Economic blockades. See that? That's like a takeoff of the old Calgon commercial. Ancient Chinese secret, huh? You never saw that commercial? Oh, please. You got to watch more Nick at Night. That's all I'm saying. Tony Katz at 93 WIBC. Good morning. Blockades! Angry, Jew-hating, America-hating bigots are going to take to the streets of Indianapolis, or so we're told, and block traffic and really impact the economics of the city of Indianapolis. Mayor Hogg said, we're not friends. I'm not going to shake your hand when you come see me socially. I've got 5 microphones. You can come in for an interview anytime. Updates on the city. Disagree about things, talk about things. It'd be good. People would want to hear from you, but you've never been willing, and your team has never been willing. As a matter of fact, your team has been despicably nasty over the years, and you allow it. I mean, that's what happened. But you're going to allow people to block traffic in Indianapolis? No. We have snowplows. I just want to remind you, sir, that if people are blocking traffic in Indianapolis... I don't think you can block it for anything, but you're going to block it to support terrorists? Just a reminder to you, Mayor Hogsett, that we in Indianapolis have snowplows and they can be used in springtime. Just going to leave that there for you, sir. And I honestly, I truly do hope you do the right thing. I really, really do. Meanwhile, we're about to get super fancy in Indy. The hotel, not the Hotel Carmichael. You thought I was going to say the Hotel Carmichael. I was going to do a whole thing about the Hotel Carmichael. That's in Carmel. That's in Carmel. Cost $20 million more to build than they thought, and the whole city just went, huh, and moved on with their day. That's my only issue with it. Although I admit I don't like it when the cities do that kind of thing. I think that if private industry wants to, let them. When the city does it, it's awkward. Although I will say I hear that the French restaurant inside, what's the name of the French restaurant inside the Carmichael, is supposed to be excellent. I haven't gone yet. Supposed to be excellent. I have no issue with it being there. But when you're $20 million over and the city shrugs, and then I have people getting on my case for why are you bringing this up? That's just precious to me. Indianapolis is now going to be opening up the Intercontinental Hotel. This is Keystone Group that is going to be doing this. It's at 17 West Market. It's known as the Illinois Building. It's going to include a rooftop bar with views of the Soldiers and Sailors Monument. It'll have meeting space. It'll do smaller high-end weddings, fundraisers, and social events. Will the rooftop bar have cigars? And if so, who's in charge of deciding that humidor? Because, hey, how are you? Keystone Group, that's Ersal Özdemir, owner of the Indy 11. So, hey, seriously. The hotel space conversation is stunning, that we still need more of it. This is what makes the whole Insignia thing so crazed. It's not that we can't use the hotel space and the extra convention space. It's the idea that the city of Indianapolis is going to do this. You don't see me arguing about the Intercontinental Hotel. I think it's going to be wonderful. Private group, private guy, great. The city? Ugh. Again, not the business they should be in. Hope it works out, but not the business they should be in at all. What happened with the Iranian attack on Israel, and what about that U.S. response? Major Mike Lyons broke it down for me earlier today. I'll share it with you. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC. Good morning. Storm season. We're not out of the woods yet. You just heard Tara Hastings talking about it. Indiana storms can be fierce. Do not wait for a leak to have your roof inspected. Talk to Moss Roofing today. Moss Roofing provides free inspections. They can spot potential issues before they turn into costly repairs. You're talking about siding a replacement after a strong wind, roof replacement after a hailstorm. Moss Roofing has options that fit any budget. Talk to them about their payment plans. Talk to Moss Roofing today. Your roofing, your siding, we're talking about a second generation of Hoosiers running Moss Roofing, a family.
Finding the right healthcare partner for your business isn't easy, but Hancock Wellbeing at Work can help. We're a different kind of program that combines employer clinics with a wellness strategy. And in a lot of cases, we can deliver greater health benefits at a lower cost. See why well-being for your employees is well-being for your business at HancockWellbeingAtWork.org.
So what happens when Joe Biden says don't? The President of the United States said to Iran about a possible attack on Israel, don't. And yet, Iran did. 350 drones and ballistic missiles, some of them shot down by the United States, including three ballistic missiles shot down by the USS Arleigh Burke, a destroyer. But the president said don't, and Iran did. So doesn't that mean there's going to be a response? Doesn't that mean there needs to be a response? Tony Katz, great to be with you. Major Mike Lyons joins me right now, retired West Point graduate, military analyst here on not only with us, but all across the TV and radio dials. First, let's talk about this attack. It was known to others that this was coming in this way, giving Israel a chance to prepare because groups, I think it was like Turkey and other nations, actually shared the information they had. Was this Iran being purposeful, saying, hey, we want to put on a show, but we don't want to do real damage, quote unquote?
Yeah, I think so, Tony. And first of all, though, a country that says it doesn't want to go to war, escalate, decides to fire 300 or 50 or so missiles at another country is not a serious statement. I mean, the only but for the fact that the United States and Israel had this defense capability to fire up and not let something like, 1% go through, 99% were stopped. I mean, it's just a military miracle. It's incredible that that happened. So I'm just still surprised whatsoever that the evaluation criteria is there was no casualties, there was no damage. So that was okay. It's never okay that this country does that, because First of all, Iran got incredible intelligence for what the capability of Israel and the United States can do. What about the cost of all those interceptors that went up there yesterday and the fact that they're not in inventory? There's not, you know, there's a finite supply of that military supply that can do this. And then lastly, look at Jordan, for example. Jordan now is clearly on the side of Israel, the fact that they obviously helped with this mission as well. So, you know, I think the lines are getting drawn more clear. But of course, this administration gives Iran a pass. They just want the Israelis to take a win and not do anything. And by the way, we're not going to help you if you decide to go on the offense and attack inside of Iran.
I am somebody who disagrees in the idea of Jordan being an ally. We know that weapons get smuggled into the West Bank, and that clearly has to do with Jordan looking the other way. And I wonder if this is more Jordan acting in their own best interest, because these drones and these missiles could have fallen on them. I would like it if you were the one who was correct in this, Major, talking to Major Mike Lyons, retired United States Army. But I want to get back into, before we get into the Biden and the U.S. response, let's go back to Iran. Mm-hmm. This was indeed telegraphed. So the purpose, okay. You know, you talk about being able to see what Israel's defense capability is, being able to kind of engage in analysis. This is one risky way to go about doing that. If you're Iran, which has now said, now you see Israel, you see what we'll do to you, you better not do anything to us or else. What is Iran's next steps in your view?
Yeah, no, for sure. It's kind of like warning somebody they're going to shoot them. So put a bulletproof vest on, and if that stops, it's good to go. But if not, you're still, you know, still going to damage you. What is Iran's next steps? They're going to sit back now and see what Israel does. They were going to continue to fund covertly the militia groups that are in Iraq. This was pressure coming from Hezbollah in some ways. I think that argument makes sense because they had been doing nothing. They had been literally on the sidelines, but now they're in the game. Now the fact that they've launched missiles from their sovereign territory that again violated international airspace, all those things, they're in the game. So I think Iran sits back and waits, sees what the United States does, and then sees what Israel's response is going to be.
Let's talk about what the United States does. Let me start with a baseline. When Joe Biden, the president, said don't, that was a stipulation of foreign policy. That stating don't, de facto, the implication is if you do, something will happen. Am I wrong in my assessment?
Well, that's exactly. No, the administration seems to be very siloed, that there's different foreign policies that come out for whatever way the wind is blowing on that day. That how does the administration say our support for Israel is ironclad, but then in the same token tell Israel, well, by the way, if you decide to go back on the offense against Iran to this, we won't support you here. So it's moved the red line. There's no red line. Like I said, Iran gets a pass again. They escalate, get a pass. We have a new norm. We have a new norm that Israel, somebody can fire 300 rockets at Israel without them having to respond, as long as nobody's killed on the ground.
But before I get to Israel's response, let's go back to keep it with Joe Biden. If he doesn't respond, if there is no U.S. response, I know he gathered the G7 countries. We're going to hear more about economic sanctions all of a sudden. Some of those same sanctions that he relaxed when he took office, desperate to get us back into the Iran nuclear deal, adding to this, that the administration now wants to blame President Trump for getting out of the Iran nuclear deal, that somehow that had something to do with the attacks that we saw over the weekend. But if the U.S. isn't responding, does the U.S. now look to China and Russia and other actors like a paper tiger? And does this put things like Taiwan more on the map for being taken over in the year 2024?
Yeah, I think it does. I think that the time is running out for these other countries to act. I think as they try to project what will be the results of the U.S. political results next fall. But as in the same token, there is some miracle Joe Biden gets reelected, and we just have the same continuance of this foreign policy. So The question, though, I think that where it impacts the most in these other arenas is just coming down to how much of a supply we're giving. We've basically shut off supply to the Ukrainians right now, and every warning is there that they're likely have to surrender here by the end of this year. They're going to run out of ammunition by the end of the year. What's going on in the Pacific? The Chinese have been able to keep that, you know, again, on the down low because they want, when the time comes, they're not going to give up this military advantage of surprise that seems to no longer exist in this modern world of conflict at that level. So I think that's where those two are a little bit different. While this administration tries to, you know, thread this needle in the Middle East between Gaza, between Iran, and between this, our support of Israel, based on the political forces that are acting in our country.
Now let's put you as the fly on the wall. There's Benjamin Netanyahu, the prime minister. There's Yoav Gallant, the defense minister. There's Benny Gantz, minister without profile. These are the three who get to decide the battle plan, the response of Israel. Are you responding to what Iran has done? And what is the level of the response? You're the fly on the wall, Major Mike Lyons, or you're right there in the room advising them. What say you?
They're going to ramp up something. The response will be covertly. Israel will bring us back to the shadows. They're focused on their nuclear capability. That's the biggest existential threat Israel has. I think it'll look like that Washington will take the W-2 because they'll say that they've influenced Israel not to respond. But I guarantee you those people are clearing their desks right now, figuring out a way to covertly respond to what the Iranians have done.
Major Mike Lyons, retired United States Army military analyst. I appreciate you taking the time to be with us.
Finding the right healthcare partner for your business isn't easy, but Hancock Wellbeing at Work can help. We're a different kind of program that combines employer clinics with a wellness strategy. And in a lot of cases, we can deliver greater health benefits at a lower cost. See why well-being for your employees is well-being for your business at HancockWellbeingAtWork.org.
The summer wind came blowing in from across the sea.
Tax day, my people.
It lingered there.
Write your checks and then have a drink. What am I supposed to tell you? It's all going to be okay. It sucks. It was funny. First of all, Tony Katz, 93 WIBC. Good morning. Great to be with you. Always a pleasure. Producer Carl's behind the board. Matt Baer in the WIBC Traffic Center. Ryan Hedrick and Kurt Darling in the WIBC Newsroom. We'll be hearing more from Kurt Darling over the next month as we get ready for the month of May because he is our racing guy. Producer Carl sends me an email. I didn't even talk to him about this. And he sends me an email about a story about how wrong the income tax is. And I looked at that. The story was basically about the immorality, right? You were talking about the immorality of the income tax.
Exactly. They're taxing your work.
You know, I've been talking about this on and off for years. The whole offense of the income tax is completely dismissed as somehow you have to do this because it's fair. But you are exactly right. The idea of taxing your work, you do the effort, you engage the skill, you have put yourself out there, and the government says we deserve a piece. Is so gross and despicable as to be believed. 1913, the income tax, I refer to 1913 as part of the, you know, the tilt of America. The direct election of senators, the income tax, these things did tremendous disservice to the nation. Tremendous. The income tax is abhorrent and should be repealed. I've said it. I meant it. I apologize to no one for it. And producer Carl and I are going to start a movement. No, we're not. We're just going to talk about it. And
let's plan on it after the show.
All right. We're going to have to. There's going to be snacks. That's the key to any movement is good snacks. By the way, you can apply that a bunch of different ways to the word movement. And I'd still be correct. Tales from the Track. presented by Relay Indiana. Scott Dixon will be speaking to the crowd. This takes place Monday, May 20th, from 4:30 to 8:30 p.m., of course, hosted by Hammer and Nigel. This will be taking place at Vision Loft Stutz there on Capitol Avenue. Tickets available. I don't know how many are left. At WIBC.com. I'm just going to keep talking about it until they tell me to stop talking about it, which doesn't mean that there are still tickets, because sometimes I don't get emails. So this is, you can find it all at WIBC.com, an incredible event. The tickets include dinner, there's a cash bar, door prizes. It's a whole one-on-one with Scott Dixon, and then there's a Q&A, there's a meet and greet with the photos, and it's a private viewing of the Stutz Museum, which is very, very cool. And Hotel Tango Distillery will be on a site. They've got the menu crafted with their red, white, and bourbon, which is a specialty label that supports the American Legion's Be the One initiative. So a lot of good things happening. You can check out all of their bourbons. You can have the food. You can see Scott Dixon and a potentially sober Nigel. Tales from the Track. That's with Scott Dixon, presented by Relay Indiana. Tickets are available at WIBC.com. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC. Good morning.
I said to my Uncle Sam, old man taxes, here I am. And he was glad to see me. Mr. Small Fry, yes indeed. Lower brackets, that my speed and he.
Yeah, see, welcome to the radio, see. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC. This is the kind of music we play, see. What are you doing, Carl?
I never felt so proud.
Yeah, I know it's an income tax song, but no.
I'm playing a hibbity jibbity.
The government's putting the squeeze on us. They're trying to cheese us. We're not going to let them happen. We're going to fight all the way to victory. Good Lord. What has happened to this show?
I thought it was awesome.
Tony Katz, 93 WIBC. Good morning. Great to be with you. Honesty matters. Thus the headline, men punching random women in New York City, a desperate last gasp of the male rage fueling MAGA. Oh, is this where I play the music? I didn't. All right, this is where I play the music. Okay. That's about right. Now, I had seen this story the other day. Actually, I think I had it in one of my show sheets and didn't get to it. I didn't notice that the author is Amanda Marcotte, who has long been amongst the silliest of the progressives. What a statement. What a headline. Men punching random women in New York City, a desperate last gasp of the male rage fueling MAGA. Random New York City attacks are an extreme manifestation of men feeling entitled to women's time and attention. You know, this is happening. We have discussed it before. Everybody wants to talk about how crime is down, and certainly one should be honest about data. Homicides are down. I have the story from the Wall Street Journal. Homicides are plummeting. That's the terminology being used, and I'm happy to see it, although there was no data on Indianapolis present in what it is that the Wall Street Journal provided, that's searchable. You know, I type in Indianapolis and it says NA, as in not applicable. But if I take a look at Philadelphia, in the first few months, they have had 75 homicides, which is a massive number. But in 2023, same time period, they had 114. So you can see this. Texas had 57 in 2024, the year before, 79. Columbus, Ohio had 19 in 2024, first 3 months, but in the year before, 45. So we should look at these things and notice that it's real, right? We shouldn't pretend, oh, that's not the case. But we can honestly say that people don't feel safe, whether it's in downtown Indianapolis or in the streets of New York or anywhere else. That there is activity happening and allowed to happen everywhere. Also, we should be clear that if there were 75 murders in Philadelphia in the first 3 months, that doesn't make Philadelphia safe. just like Indianapolis, is not a place where people feel safe. And I would like it if it was. And we take a look at New York City and we see that people are being attacked and women are just being randomly punched. You understand that none of that has to do with Trump and Make America Great Again. You want a subject that doesn't get discussed? I'll give you a subject that doesn't get discussed. Of the people getting punched, now I'm going to say that this is anecdotal. And the reason is because just because something is shared on TV or via video doesn't mean it is the totality. I want a data point. How many are black men punching white women? Tony, how dare you? No. I'm discussing the very idea of what those have put out there about bigotry this and bigotry that, and look at these people and look at those people and look what police do and look how it's racist and look how it's racial. How do you think these things manifest? How do you think these things build? We've seen anecdotal proof of this repeatedly. How many of these are attacks on Jewish women? Because we've certainly seen Orthodox Jews be attacked in New York. Remember, New York is all loving and caring and everybody lives together. Honestly, so far I walk down the street without issue. Here in Indianapolis. But none of this has to do with Trump. Zero. Honesty matters. What is it that we're seeing with our own eyes? And then are our eyes deceiving us? And what does the data tell us? If you tell me homicides are down, I can point to data and say, yes, homicides are down. But I could equally say that if you're a woman walking down the streets of New York and you fear getting punched in the face, that homicides are down is inconsequential to the fact that you are still afraid and that women are getting punched in the face. But it takes a special kind of progressive to say, well, you see, this is because of Trump. And that's Amanda Marcotte. That's just ugly. It's a lie. It's false. It's nonsense. It's narrative as opposed to reality. It's madness. We don't need madness. Madness is randomly punching women in the face on the streets of New York. What we need is data. And what we need is people who see that to stand up and make it stop. I have argued, and I will say it again, the only way that this stuff is going to stop is with force. Us as a society saying no. That's the force.